Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Thanks to RX Bar for supporting Don't Blame Me. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/blame and use the promo code BLAME. That's rxbar.com/blame, promo code BLAME. This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Tree Hut. Tree Hut makes real wooden watches offering engraved personal messages that make meaningful, unique gifts. For 15% off your first order, visit treehutwatches.com/blame and enter the promo code BLAME at checkout. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to my podcast. This is, oh my God, I almost forgot the own name of my podcast. I'm like, I'm just going to... I almost said, this is not too deep with Megan.
Yay.
It's not. This is Don't Blame Me with Megan. But we have the host of Not Too Deep, Grace Helbig.
Yay.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Thanks for being in my house.
Your house is, like I said, a Macy's holiday showroom. It is on. I knew I had expectations that it was going to be absolutely fabulous. It's exceeded it.
Yes.
It's so nice.
Oh, thanks. I mean, it's also still halfway decorated from Thanksgiving.
I just looks festive and holiday.
That was the theme for Thanksgiving, was Christmas. That's the aesthetic we're going for. I wish you guys were here though when the lights were down so you could see how all the Christmassy twinkle lights everywhere.
I'm sure it was beautiful.
It was very beautiful. Mel's here too.
Hello.
Yay. Woo.
Jack is doing, who cares?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what Jack is doing. He's not here. It's a girl's day.
Yeah. He's everywhere. He's on social media.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah. He's checking in.
He sent selfies, either shaved or unshaved ones.
Jack took some selfies that I had to look at over his holiday that I was like, what are you doing? These are bad selfies.
Wait, I haven't seen them.
He took bad angles. He knows better.
He's a selfie prince.
He was
trying to get like the ocean in the background.
It wasn't even the ocean. It was just like a cabana over top of him.
Oh, God. That is a terrible picture.
Jack, I was like, come on, you're back, right?
I didn't see that one.
I know. Jack. Jack, we're talking about you and you manifested yourself.
You did. Why'd you take this?
I was so disappointed in you over your holidays. I was like, I hope he has a couple margaritas in him and that's why you took from this angle.
Why? What's wrong with that photo?
Why would you ever take below your chin angle selfie?
I don't care.
That's rule number one. What were you trying?
The sky is so beautiful.
Then just take the sky.
You're very tan.
You are tan.
Oh, yeah.
We were just saying how you're not here, but now Jack's here, everybody. Do you want to hop on my mic and say hi?
Hi, everybody.
He's
nailed down. It.
Great. Perfect. Well, guys, this is Don't Blame Me with Megan Ranks, and this is my advice podcast. So today we're going to be listening to your voicemails and giving you some advice. And if you guys want to call in, you can call the number 310-694-0976.
You did it.
It's only taken months for me. And I also practiced in the car today. I was like, 310.
No, that's good. I don't have any other phone numbers memorized other than my own phone.
Do you have any like childhood friends' home phone numbers still memorized?
I have like my old house landline. Yeah. Not even completely, but like part of it.
I have my friends, one of my friends' first childhood homes. So they don't live there anymore. No one I know lives there. I'm like, this is stuck in my head, but I cannot remember my boyfriend's area code for his phone number.
Same. Do you write down in case like your phone completely like...
Nope.
Yeah, me either. Okay. If I lose it, I lose all of it.
I'm stranded. I will be stuck forever. But and also if you guys are international callers, you can send a voice memo, just record on your phone and email it to meganpodcast@gmail.com. So we can hear your British accents or your Canadian accents. Still a fan of the Canadians. Would love dual citizenship. Except I'm not looking to get married. No offense, guys. But yeah, should we start?
Let's go.
Wee-wee.
Hey, my name is and I am 25. And I recently left my job that I spent 3 years just working my butt to the bone. Like, I did everything for this job. I was on call 24/7. I just gave everything to this job. And I actually recently left it. And the reason why I left this job was because my boss, who is female, she was quite abusive in the workplace. She would say the most horrible things to me. She never respected me or my time. She would just belittle me all the time. If I ever made a mistake, she was so quick to react and make me feel so shameful. And when she didn't have the guts to speak with me in person, which she actually hardly ever did, she would go seclude herself in the office and just type up all these long emails about how like shitty I was. And it's just always so funny because where I worked, and I don't want to give out too much information, but where I worked, everyone loved me there. All the people that I worked for loved me there, but my boss was just terrible. So I left, and now, long story short, I'm working at this new place, and they seem to have everything so much more together, but I can't. Like, I can't believe that it's true. I can't believe that these people want to be nice to me and that my new boss, like, actually cares about me and compliments me. And it all just seems like a big joke and a dream because, again, 3 years at this previous job, I was treated like serious shit. And I'd go home and I just like crawl in my boyfriend's arms and just like cry and cry and cry because I couldn't take it. And I just, that's what I'm so used to and accustomed to. So being in this new position, it's just, I just want to know how Do a lot of people have issues with work abuse?
My response is good for you to get out of that work environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like you've been for 3 years conditioned to abuse, which sucks and is like a very addictive cycle that it will become. And it's totally valid that you would feel really insecure and about being in a job where people seemingly validate you. and it's hard, but I think one, she's only 25.
Yeah.
Which, thank God, she didn't stay in that longer, which is entirely possible.
Oh, yeah.
And shitty people are just going to be shitty. And it's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of her boss clearly has some ish going on in her own self that she's projecting onto her. But I think, like, I don't know the right process for healing that kind of thing. But I think admitting to yourself that these are what you're feeling, these things or these experiences, is the first step. When you start to say it out loud, it either like breaks down the walls you have or starts to break them down or starts to make you realize what your real situation is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever had work abuse before?
I mean, I think like my job different in the sense of like not going back to the same, like working on sets or whatever. Like you can have people who are total assholes and mean, but it's not, I haven't had like a consistent singular working with like the same group of people for 3 years over and over or something like that. But I think it happens, like, I think in the last year, I've had 6 of my friends change jobs based on, like, the people that they work with. And whether it's, like, bosses who are terrible to them or coworkers or management. I think it's so incredibly common that this happens. Like, I know so many personal details about my friends, like, bosses that I'm like, I hate so many people who employ my friends. Because I'm like, I hear all of these terrible, terrible things. And I think the thing that's great is the advice I would give if you were feeling very, I don't know, down about yourself, not just the situation, is to kind of realize that this is somebody, exactly like you're saying, is somebody else's problem.
Yeah.
And the fact that like you're recognizing that everyone else at your other job really liked you and you got along with everybody and this was very much a her thing. I think just not letting that, knowing that kind of that experience with her just needs to like live and die there. And none of that needs to transfer over. And especially if everyone's being nice to you and everything's doing good. I wouldn't dwell too much on it. And also it's kind of like being, I don't know, like not that I'm saying like the other shoe's eventually going to fall and people are going to be terrible, but like be blissfully ignorant while you can. And be like, this is great. Everyone's so nice to me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When you think back on great bosses that you've had or great work relationships that you have, there's in my mind only a handful because a lot of them are kind of insignificant or not the best. And so the ones that are really, really great, I have like a very special place in my brain for them.
Yeah.
And so it's really, really hard to be like, ignore your trust issues.
Yeah.
But like, it's going to eventually, you're going to waste your time comparing the two situations rather than enjoying the present one that you're in. And it's always easier said than done. But just start to, I mean, I think practice like gratitude. Like, be thankful for the way that they're treating you now versus the way you were treated before, and know that you don't want to treat anyone the way that your old boss treated you.
Yeah.
Everything's a learning experience. If you can look back and say, well, I learned I never want to be in that experience again, nor do I want to treat anyone like I felt in that experience, then you can move forward with no blood on your hands.
Yeah. And also it's not, you spent 3 years being so upset, like obviously totally like warranted. So why spend the next 3 years being upset about, oh, this could possibly happen again kind of thing. I think just as much as like shut down your feelings, but kind of just let it be a new experience and try not and let it get clouded by these like what ifs.
Yeah. Also be nice to yourself because it sounds like you've eliminated this cycle of abuse from the singular person, which you've been conditioned to. So now you're like, I have this empty space in my brain. I should now make it, fill it myself by having these like negative thoughts about the good experiences I'm having. So give yourself a high five that you got out of that situation and now take that abuse section of your brain that was like happening and that you're like has been normalized in a way and exchange that with, you know, the gratitude that the people that you're with now don't treat you that way.
Yeah.
Because I can see how you would be so accustomed to that when the abuse isn't in your life. You're like, well, then how do I self-destruct so I can fill this like abuse void that I have in my brain?
Yeah. And also just write a really long, really mean Glassdoor review of her.
Oh, yeah. Or you can do that. I've heard this. I haven't done it for myself to know if it works really well. Just write out like a just completely honest letter of everything that you would say to this woman, like completely honestly with no consequences, and then burn it.
Yeah.
Let it go.
I like that. I like that. Okay, on to the next one.
My best friend is my ex. We never really dated, but we talked for several months. We had sex together. We had our first kids together. We had our first everything together. But then he ended things to date someone. But then he came back to me. But then he ended things to date someone else when he went to camp. And then he came back. And every time he comes back, he just plays my feelings, basically, and ends it. But I love him so much that I just let him do it. Then me and him were talking again, and he ended up dating one of my friends, and I was a petty little bitch to her, and I fucking hate her, and she hates me. But months after, like, I ended up breaking them up several times because she always thought that he loved me because I was his everything, you know, we're always so close. And right now they've been dating for several months, but me and him were becoming friends again, and he basically cheated on her. And well, he did, because I basically gave him a hand job, so that's cheating. And it just, I don't know what to do, because I know he doesn't like me, even though he gives hints that he does. And like, I just don't know how to deal with the situation, because every time I want to get, like, I want to stop being friends with him, I just, I can't, because I'm such a gentleman with him, and he means so much to me. So do you know any way that you could help me with this, or, like, how to deal with the situation without anyone, like, getting hurt, you know? And how to actually, like, stop liking him or loving him, I guess.
I wish you were recording it so we could just see your face.
That guy sucks.
Yeah.
That guy sucks so hard.
I know. My number one thing, I'm like, he's not your friend.
No,
like,
he's not at all. He's never been your friend.
No, he has no desire to be your friend. He has no intention of you guys. Like, he's not going to attend your wedding. Like,
no, he doesn't give a shit about your feelings.
Not at all.
At all.
He just wants hand jobs.
Yeah. He cares about your hands, not your head.
And your mouth.
Jesus. Yep. Well, find someone else.
Yeah, I'd also say you're 16, and there's something that nothing is not dramatic at that age.
Oh yeah, everything's the end of the world.
Everything, and especially like relationships and dating. I don't even like relationship that I can look back on that I like saw my friends have in high school that are now I'm like, oh, seemingly not problematic or dramatic at all. We managed to make everything so dramatic. So you're so conditioned and used to accepting that these things just happen, and that this is just something that comes along with the territory. But you are cutting him far, far, far too much slack.
Yeah, this dude sucks, plain and simple. But he's also like a 16-year-old boy, which is par for the course a lot of times. And it's so obviously it's a shitty thing as an adult to tell you as a teenager, like, just get some life experience, and this won't, your perspective will change, and this won't seem as meaningful as it does. But it's impossible for you to know that at 16 until you actually become older and have space from it. I would say this is the kind of guy that clearly knows that you are around and available at all times, because you are, girl. So make yourself
less
not
available.
Yeah, just cut him off. See what happens. I have a feeling he'll be way more. If you stop talking to him, if you stop returning texts or phone calls or whatever conversations you're having, I'm sure he'll will become way more aggressive in contacting you because there's like a, oh, my safety net, this girl that's always there isn't there. So it's a panic communication. But then you can't give in on that. I mean, you got to decide for yourself. Like, do you, it sounds like you don't value yourself enough to be like, I don't need this guy.
No, you want someone to choose you. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
And being the second string thing, That sounds like such like this romantic comedy thing of like, oh, we were best friends and it's always the will they won't they. But it's not like you both have been in different relationships and haven't been able to be together. There's been opportunities and he's chosen to be with other people. And I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah. I mean, I would encourage you to prove me wrong, because I think you're going to stay with this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, I don't trust anything in your voice that says you're ready to walk away from this guy, but I would give you the mission of proving me wrong.
Yeah. And I also think that there's, and I've said this before on the podcast, that I can think back to being 16 so clearly, and about how much, not even just pressure, I guess like pressure in general you feel when someone's your first, mm-hmm. but this sense of like importance when that's been, it's been recent enough that like the, and they always talk like the first person you sleep with, how important that is. It's not like it's the last person you sleep with. It's not the first person
right.
That you lose your virginity to or whatever that is. I think there's kind of, there feels like a safety net in that and going back to that. I mean, I sure as hell know that like, I definitely went back to like terrible guys in, mm-hmm. in high school because I'm like, well, it's not adding to my number. Like, let me like keep this here.
Right.
But that's also, it might feel comfortable for a while, but ultimately all it's going to do is give, you're not going to have any other opportunity or other chance to meet other people because you're always going to be that girl who's mm-hmm. it's complicated with this guy.
Right.
You're going to become, not only are you not going to be pursuing other people, but other people probably aren't going to pursue you because
right.
you're going to sound like a fuck ton of drama
right.
because you're already tied up in this confusing thing.
Exactly. And if you're spending all your energy either waiting around or participating in this drama with this guy, you miss all these other openings of other really potentially great people mm-hmm. in your ecosystem that could be available to you. This guy sucks.
Yeah, and it's ruining friendships too.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing that's like, as much as I can totally understand you hating this girl for that,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, that's also, why doesn't he get punishment for that too? Like, he's just as much a player in hooking
yeah.
up and starting to date your friend as your friend.
Yeah. And I think really like have a conversation with yourself about what you want. And if you had an ideal partner, what are the qualities in that person that you would want versus what you're getting from this current situation? Like, what are you addicted to? Is that you want, like Megan said, someone to choose you? Do you want to be the winner, quote unquote, mm-hmm. in this like situation with this other girl? Because I've been there
oh,
where you're
yeah.
like, I want it. You miss, there's like a misconception that someone choosing you is someone thinking you're special.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always it. It's like you're convenient. You're not
yep.
special. So you want the person that chooses you because you're special.
Yeah. And I would also say as a girl who's friends with a lot of guys, and I've always been like that, I understand that there is that feeling of being that constant in a guy's life, especially mm-hmm. at that age when he's dating all of these people and you're the friend that's always around, but you guys aren't friends. Like that, I'm now able to distinguish when I look back on like the guys that I would be on again, off again, but we're like, oh, it's casual. We're just friends. Like we just mm-hmm. happen to have hooked up or whatever. But I was realizing it was eating me up inside to see him with other people and
yeah.
all that. But there is that sense of pride and feeling of being like, oh, well, I'm his like, oh, that's his best girlfriend. Like she's an untouchable kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys isn't a true real friendship. And I also think it's going to take a while for, I mean, at least for me, like I know that there's relationships that have been way easier to get over and way harder to get over, not even regardless of the age that I was. Like I think the hardest ones I had to get over was when I was like 16 or 17 or 18. And then when I was like maybe 20-ish,
mm-hmm.
but then like the ones in between, even when I was like 22 dating people, that's mods, we're still dating, but like 21, that stuff. But I'm like, those ones, even though I was older and you'd think that those feelings would mature and those relationships would be deeper, I don't want to ever belittle this because you're 16, because
right.
like the first time I fell in love, I was 16. And like, even now as a 24-year-old, I can still be like, no, I was totally in love with that person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just like we're saying, so you have to give yourself and other people the opportunity to, I don't know, to impress you, and you need to
yeah.
be open to that. And
also yeah. I've learned as an adult, and this is going to sound maybe too psychological, but like you got to look at the mommy issues here. A lot of times a guy, what is his relationship with his mom? Is
mm-hmm.
it non-existent? Because that's probably why you're around. A lot of guys make female friends because they come in and they provide this like nurturing maternal energy that they're not getting from their mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that the hardest relationships I've had to get over in breakups were because I was trying so hard to be this person's like special person, but really they just wanted maternal energy from me. They didn't want me as a girlfriend. They wanted me as like a caretaker
mm-hmm.
and making sure that they're okay. So look at that, because that can be like a clear indicator that this guy is coming back to you because you're this soft, sweet spot that gives him this like motherly love that he might not be getting elsewhere. And that's not your job.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Yeah.
Have fun in high school.
Yeah, you're 16.
Do body shots. Dance on tables. Except don't do body shots. Of water.
Water. Stay hydrated.
Yeah. Okay, on to the next one.
I am 22 years old, and my whole life I've kind of gone through with this mentality of like, I don't need a man. I'm super independent, like super single, and I love it. That kind of mentality, kind of like feeling like a bad bitch, you know? But then about a year ago, I kind of stumbled into a relationship. It came out of nowhere. I was really surprised. I really enjoyed it, and I kind of really surprised myself with how much I enjoyed it. Things ended about 6 months ago. It's not a big deal anymore, you know? It's fine. But I am kind of confused at this point because I'm really enjoying being single, but I'm also, in that relationship, I learned that I really enjoy being in a relationship, and I really am looking forward to, like, being a wife and a mom, and now I'm kind of at this point where, like, I want to be strong and independent, but I also really, I would really love to be in another relationship, and I'm kind of wondering if you have any tips on how to kind of balance both attitudes, and I mean, can you be both? Is this something that other people worry about?
Hell yeah. 2017. Mm-hmm. You can be a badass independent woman in a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, you should be, essentially. Like, relationships are about balancing your own happiness with someone else's happiness.
And not compromising mm-hmm. either one.
Yeah, I'm a serial monogamous relationship person, but at the same time, I consider myself a completely, totally independent, like, career-driven woman at the mm-hmm. same time. And the best relationships are when that feels in balance with yeah. each other. The worst relationships are when you feel like you're compromising, like you said, mm-hmm. one side of that. But that's one should be really, like, awesome for you to realize that you want a nurturing relationship and you want to be a badass bitch.
Yeah. Well, I think exactly like that. Like, that's, I think you're light years ahead of a lot of people. Like, I think you can really be in the phase of, I don't want to date at all, or it's wanting a relationship and mm-hmm. wanting a boyfriend and those things for other reasons. But I think, I mean, I've always said that my favorite between friends and relationships, my favorite thing is when I can coexist with people. Like mm-hmm. that's, I love that. I don't want to have to always be on. I don't want to have to be always carrying a conversation. I want to be able to do my own thing.
Right.
And then be able to be like, oh, cool. Great. We're going to bed. Like, good night. Like, cool. Awesome. There's a person here who I really love, or mm-hmm. just like sitting with friends and watching TV and not having to talk, like people you can thrive and coexist
right.
with. I think there's a lot of, especially if you haven't dated in a really long time and you've really enjoyed being single, what I would say is, like, that's fine. I mm-hmm. mean, I think my mentality with every relationship and every step in a relationship is I want to do whatever step it is until that's not fun anymore. And then I want to, like, go ahead and, like, figure out the next thing to do.
Yeah.
So, like, before Mats and I, like, made it official, I'm like, I'm still having fun when we're just dating. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want us to be, like, official boyfriend, girlfriend yet. Cause I was just also an asshole. but then, like, I was like, okay, you know what? Like, I had fun with this, but, like, this will be fun too. So I don't think that if you want to be single right now, I think that's totally fine. But I wouldn't put yourself in a box of being like, you don't have to switch this flip from being like, I'm single, switch this flip. Nope, flip this switch. Anyone else catch that? You don't have to be like, oh, I'm going to be single right now. Okay, now I'm looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I think you can just thrive and exist and be open to people. And I also think if you search for a relationship, that's when, like, you date people who aren't usually so solid.
Right. I think that it's both ways too, because I know I have a lot of single friends that give themselves this mantra that I love to be single, when deep down they kind of want mm-hmm. a companion, you know, and they won't let themselves admit that because it feels like insecure or vulnerable, or it just makes them embarrassed mm-hmm. in some way. So I think admitting to yourself that when the right person comes along, being open to that is great. And then in the meantime, working on all the things for yourself that make you the best version of yourself so that you attract, you know, the mm-hmm. best partner that you can is, like, the best way to think about it. You sound, like, very kind of carefree and fun.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, I think, overanalyze this, mm-hmm. especially when they're single, of like, I want a relationship. No, I'm independent and good. And then you get caught in this headspace of like, what mm-hmm. do I actually want? And what am I allowed to want? And you're allowed to want and get both of those things.
Yeah. And I think it's about, like, you're, like, being open to meeting people. And when you, like, go on dates and stuff, I think you're in a really great place because you're not, you enjoy being single. So you're not like, ah, fuck, I need to get wifed up ASAP because I'm so, like, bored or lonely or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can actually, like, you're in the best position to go on dates and have a clear level head and really spend time with people that you actually like. And I think that's the cool thing. Like, for me, like, I enjoy being single and I like being in a relationship, but I like being in a relationship with someone I really like.
Right.
If I don't really like you, I'd rather fucking be single.
Yeah, it's a job. It's not a relationship anymore. It just becomes this other job you have to do that's so not fulfilling when you have a choice to make it different.
Yeah.
Also, you're 22, so this is probably the most transitional point of your life where you start thinking about marriage, you start mm-hmm. thinking about kids, you start thinking about like what's next chapters in your life kind of thing. So it's great for you to realize, cool, you had a long-term relationship and you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of single people get really scared when they're single for a long time that they can't have a healthy relationship.
Oh, me. That was me. Yeah. I was 3 month maximum and I'd be like, I hate you. I never want to see you again. No, but yeah, you know exactly what you're saying. You know you can do it mm-hmm. and that should be a good comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So look for the right one.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Plus you can have kids way later now.
Oh, you can have marriages way later. Like everything, this whole like traditional idea of like graduate, get a job, get married, mm-hmm. have kids is completely destroyed now. You can do whatever feels right for you.
Okay, we are going to go on to a commercial, but we will be right back. Thanks to RX Bar for supporting Don't Blame Me. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar made with 100% whole ingredients and no BS, such as no added sugar, artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers. RX bars are made with a few simple, clean ingredients where every ingredient serves a purpose. For example, egg whites. Guess what they do? They are a main source of its protein, and they're easy for your body to absorb. They're also gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free, which is perfect for me because I'm allergic to everything. They've got no added sugar, as well as no added flavors, colors, preservatives, or fillers. Now let's talk about flavors, guys. RX bars come in 11 delicious flavor varieties. Whether you're a sweet or a savory, a chocolate or fruity, there's an RX bar for you. And because they use real food ingredients, they actually taste good. You can taste the real fruit. You can taste the spices. You can taste the sea salt, which it might sound crazy if you've never done the sweet and the sea salt thing, but no, it's a thing. It's delicious. RX bars are ideal for breakfast on the go, snack in the office, throwing in your bag for the plane, tossing in your backpack for a bike ride or a hike, pre or post workout snack, or if you're just raiding your cabinets being like, I want to eat something right now. These are for you. My personal favorite is the chocolate sea salt. It's not too sweet. It's not too salty. It is, may I even say, perfect. It's the perfect in between. And Moss is much more of a fruity RX bar flavor. So it's great because now we just get to split it and be like, okay, these are yours. These are mine. And there's no fighting over them. RX Bar has been so generous to give you guys 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/blame if you use the promo code blame. Again, that's rxbar.com/blame, promo code blame. This episode of Don't Blame Me is brought to you by Tree Hut. Tree Hut makes real wooden watches offering engraved personal messages that make meaningful, unique gifts. Tree Hut watches are made of real wood, with each watch having a unique grain and wood tone that truly makes no two watches the same, like snowflakes or people. Tree Hut builds and engraves its watches from their studio in, guess where? San Francisco, rep in the Yay area. That's where I grew up, guys, just in case you didn't know. The message engraving is a perfect way to celebrate the people in your life and remember special moments like Christmas, weddings, Valentine's Day, and graduations. Honestly, only two of these things apply to me because I didn't go to college and I'm not married. But hey, Mots, are you listening? I'm kidding. Don't worry. There are style options for everyone. They use materials like wood and stainless steel or combinations of the two, as well as leather and canvas bands. You got a new band for every day. So many bands. Bands on bands. Tree Hut watches are lightweight too, making them a great everyday watch. So I ordered a watch for Mots, and I think it looks really, really, really cool, especially in person. Obviously, the pictures on the website don't do it total justice, but having something that looks a little more, I mean, I'm trying to think of a word that's not like rustic. But it's cool. It's natural. I love the wood element of it. I think it's very cute. Very hipster, guys. It's very cool. Very in. He's a huge fan of it. And I think it's really nice because he's not forgetting to put it on like some of his other ones. And I'm like, oh, okay. You didn't put this one on? Okay, cool. He's been wearing it a lot. So if he was here, he would give it a big thumbs up. But he's just chill. With the holidays coming up, I think it's definitely a really great gift to get anybody in your life. Or, hey, guess what? Treat yourself. And for 15% off your first order, you can visit treehutwatches.com/blame and enter the promo code blame at checkout. That's treehutwatches.com/blame and promo code blame.
Okay, guys, we are back and on to the next call.
Hi, I am 21 and I'm going through the dilemma on whether I should go back to college. I took the semester off hoping to kind of get my shit together, and I've learned through that that I don't think I have college material, but unfortunately, I feel like my family is not going to accept that answer, and it's very stressful. I ended up going to an out-of-state college where I knew nobody, and I'm a senior, or I would be in my senior year, and I have no friends except for my boyfriend, and that is it. I've had probably the worst college experience I can imagine. Everyone always talks about college being the best years of their life, but all I found was depression and anxiety and terrible people, and it's just not a very warming place that I think I want to go back to. I ended up moving away after my junior year because I just couldn't handle being in the town anymore. I moved in with my sister who started grad school at a college about an hour away, so I decided that was my chance to get away, and I love it, but I don't know if I actually want to go back to school. I don't want to do retail for the rest of my life, and I loved what I was studying. I started studying social work because I wanted to help people like me, and unfortunately, I can't do that if I don't go back to school, so I am stuck at what to do.
Girl, same.
You went to college.
I went to college. It was the worst experience.
The worst experience of my entire life. I hated it so much.
And no one told me that. I was so sad because it wasn't the best years of my life.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't separate myself. I kept thinking, this has to be the best years of my life. Everyone else is having fun and I'm not. And I was miserable for all 4 years of it. And it was... wasn't until I got away from it and I started like working in a career and making friends with people I enjoy and things like that, that I gave myself permission that it was okay that those weren't the best years of my life. And people who do have the best years of their life in college don't necessarily have the most fulfilling life after.
Or fulfilling career either. Right. That like 4-year degree. I mean, I lasted a year and 6 months in college. Like, you're already excelling way past me. I dropped out... funny enough, I was talking about this with Claudia Saluski, the YouTuber, Beyond Beauty Star. Is she still Beyond Beauty Star? No, I think it's just her full name. We were talking about this recently because I saw her. And she was like, do you remember when you dropped out of college and we were at Playlist Live and you submitted your final, my final like essay or something? And as I was doing that, she was literally feeding me like a bagged wine and I was slapping the bag. I was like, you're dropping out of college. So I was like, I have that great memory. But yeah, you've already lasted far longer than me. I think... I also, like you're saying, I had such a hard time with not only like my expectations not being met of having fun, but I honestly, every single one of my friends I went to high school with had an amazing college experience. They Same. Fucking loved it. And I didn't even know it became something that was wrong with me. That it was like, oh, I'm not trying hard enough. I'm doing all of these things wrong. So I'm fucking joined a sorority. And I had like literally the worst people in my entire life.
Yeah.
And it was so hard for me to not... blame myself. And then when I dropped out, the reason I dropped out is because I could then be financially independent and support myself, but nobody supported me. Like my close friends, who to this day will still apologize for being like, I'm so sorry that we like were very anti you dropping out of school. But everyone in my life was just, no, you have to stay. You have to stay. And I'm like, no offense, all of you guys, I can't do this. Like, I'm not like, I know me and I know my limits and I can't do this. And it's also, you don't have control because I'm paying for an apartment and I'm doing this on my own.
Right.
But the one thing I would say though, is if you loved what you're studying and you like that aspect of it, I had one of my best friends, 2 years younger than me, and she had a very similar experience to me in college. But what she's doing now is she's treating it like kind of like how high school is, minus the social aspect, where she's not living on campus.
Right.
She's going to taking classes as if it's like a night school.
Yep.
And I think if you can separate and just be like, you know what, this experience was not for me, like the social aspects of college, but I really like, I do it to get the degree. Like that's what it's there for. It doesn't have to be this experience related thing.
Yeah. That's the only way. Even after I graduated, like I stayed all 4 years because one, I got a full ride, so I didn't have to pay for it. So I felt like guilty if I dropped out in any way. But after my first semester, I literally had all of these transfer applications filled out to all these different colleges. My mom was like, just stay one more semester. Mm-hmm. And then I met a guy and started dating him, and that became my only friend on campus. So really a similar story. But I, even after I graduated, was so like attached to the bummer that I felt that I didn't do it right, that I didn't do college right. And the people that I would meet in New York all had these amazing stories from college, and I would be like so resentful of them and myself because I had nothing to compare it to. And I would just like have this wave of just depression because I kept thinking I did it wrong.
Yeah.
But then when I finally was able to separate and realize the value in my college experience was the education. If you think of it solely as a means to education and not as a means to these amazing stories that you're going to retell about your glory days years and years later, because it's not sometimes. And I've had way more fun as an adult after college than ever being there. But the only the opportunities that I've had after college in, you know, the creative world came because I had an education, because I interned at different places, because I started actually my career part there, and then my socializing came way later. So I think, like you're saying, if you compartmentalize that this is solely for education, something that you really genuinely enjoy, treat it that way, and don't treat it that you need to get social stories out of this, that you need to get memories out of this. You can make memories throughout your entire life. It doesn't just, think about like when you were in high school, those 4 years, you think in that moment that these are the most important years of your life. And everything is so like high highs, low lows, that when you have separation from that, you can look back and think, how silly was I to think that that was the most important, and know that that will happen again with you in college.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a means to an end. And I think that's just kind of, and especially what you're saying with what you want to do. I think that's what I would say. And then I also think if you can schedule your class, what I did before I dropped out, I scheduled all of my classes on 2 days of the week. So I did Tuesdays, same. Thursdays, so I don't have to spend, I would get there in the morning and I would just like power straight through as much as I could. And then I would leave. Yeah. So you're not like, oh, well, there I'm around lunch. Who am I going to sit and hang out with? If you can strategize that, if you can take any of those courses to complete online.
That's what I was going to say too.
If there's any like night classes and stuff like that, just getting it done, just doing it over the summer.
Yeah, do the coursework. I mean, and there's tons of stuff when you look into colleges too, that like secret programs that you didn't even know existed, or secret ways to get your degree without having to be actively on campus the whole time.
Most schools now do have online programs. Yeah. So you can get your full degree online.
Yeah, I would totally ask. And then also you don't have like, the experience part I understand, but like my friend is currently in the dilemma with her family that she's the one who was talking about is not into the experience and is kind of doing it as if it's a like a night school kind of thing. And her thing is like, she doesn't want to walk at graduation, which is also fine.
Yeah,
like
my parents made me, I didn't want to.
Her parents want her to so bad. But I think you can, if you can separate the experience wise, and then also if you can kick this out and do it as full time as you can while still like main, like doing it like education, working classes full time, not the social aspects of it. I think you're going to be able to get an internship and get a job and then make friends with people who are awesome. And now even as an adult, I can say, I think I have maybe three adult friends who went to college, and one of them is Lily, who like, I'm like, that's not a real school. You went to school. I went to visit. I'm like, this is Disneyland. So it's the idea of not amounting to anything. It's, you know, that's not true. But I would also just say, as much as it sucks, I did not get support from anyone in my life for dropping out of school for years. And that was something that I just had to deal with because I knew what was better for me than they did at that point.
Right.
And you just, even if people are going to give you a hard time for like not living up the experience, like my friends used to give me shit. They're like, well, why don't you just try? I'm like, I am. And it's not working. Like we're at different schools.
Right.
We're different people who look for different things in friends and all that stuff. And I think you just need to value your own happiness. And eventually everybody is going to forget about it.
No one knows your experience other than yourself.
Yeah.
So people can assume whatever they want, but they'll never truly know what you're going through inside your brain. And so you have to give yourself permission that this isn't the experience you thought it would be. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just talking to three people. Did you hate college too, Mel?
No, I love college.
Okay, well, fuck. Well, I'm talking to two people.
That's why I didn't
college.
Say anything.
And it's also okay for people to enjoy their college experience. That is also what I've learned, is that I can't be mad at other people for enjoying their time.
I hated my best friend, all of her fucking college friends. I hated so much. I'm like, oh, you fucking bitches. Making my best friend love college and she doesn't drop out with me. Oh, you fuckers.
But I also have friends, like, I had so much fun after college when I moved to New York and I started doing comedy. And I have so many friends that graduated college and were miserable out of college that I'm sure would resent me for having so much fun out of school rather than in school the way they were. So everyone matures in their social scene at different times.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll survive. You'll amount to things. Okay, on to the next one.
I am 24 years old and I was recently diagnosed with herpes about 2 years ago. I was in a relationship for 5 years with the same guy, and we recently broke up in March of 2017. So as I'm adventuring out and being intimate with other people, I really just don't know how to tell anyone. The guy that I was with for 5 years was okay with it. I told him immediately and he was fine. He was like, whatever, I love you the same. Unfortunately, we are not together and he sucks. So now I just don't know how to tell other people. I have been intimate with a few other guys and I haven't said anything. While I am very cautious and I do, you know, take care of everything, I just don't know how to address the issue if someone does become serious in my life. So if you have any advice on that, that would be great.
Can someone tell me more about herpes?
What?
I need a sex education on herpes.
It's a sexually transmitted disease. Well, it can lay dormant in most men, and so they never get it. And usually in women, you like notice
outbreaks,
it.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And is there two kinds? And we're assuming this is not
Well, there's different kinds because there's ones where people get cold sores their whole life.
So we're assuming this is not the cold sore one.
That's my assumption.
Okay.
And this is a sucky situation.
Yeah, because you can't, it's like a condom can't transfer it.
I don't know. I honestly don't know enough about it to be able to give like real medical advice about it. My initial reaction is that sucked, but it's great that you got tested and you figured out that you have it, because from my understanding, a lot of people have it their whole lives and sleep around and give it to people without knowing that they even have it.
3 million people in the U.S. have
it's like the most common
every year.
Yep. Wow. I mean, I would assume it sucks. It's hard to like tell someone something that might feel. I remember I got bed bugs in my apartment. Ooh. And it was one of those things where I would get bit and I just felt like embarrassed because I felt like I was dirty or something. Yeah. And it was just the apartment itself had these things in it. And so people would be like, what is that? Like they couldn't tell. And I just felt so embarrassed like that I had bed bugs and that people were assuming things about me. But my brain just goes to, what do you want from a partner? You're going to eventually want someone that's completely honest with you. So you have to treat others with that same kind of integrity that you would want from someone.
And I think there's, as rough as it is to say it right off the bat, there's something that if you then wait till you're serious with someone, I think that's just... If you've already slept with somebody and you're not telling them and you decide that you're going to get serious with this person and then you tell them,
that's going to be bad.
That's hard. That's a little bit of a betrayal thing. And like you're saying, like the guy or the girl who you want to be with or whoever it is that you want to end up with, that person, just like your ex-boyfriend who was understanding and totally was cool with it and you dated for 5 years, that's another kind of relationship you want. And if it scares people off, then great.
Then they're not the right ones.
Exactly.
And I think you just have to kind of rip off the Band-Aid and start getting into the practice of telling people up front and be like, hey, I know this sounds crazy or gross or whatever you might feel, but I owe it to you to be honest. I have herpes. And then go from there, and it'll become easier every time you tell someone. I mean, it won't become easy, but it might get slightly easier every single time. And for you, become a more casual conversation. Because if you're presenting it as if this is the biggest tragedy in the universe, then that's how they're going to receive it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it comes from the way you talk about it with them. If you're informed about what it is, if you get, you know, all the medical information about it that you can and the way that it affects your body, and you can just be very blunt and just normalize it in some weird way. Because it is. I mean, there's 3 million people a year.
Are diagnosed
in the U.S.?
Yes.
That's, I mean, that's...
That's a lot.
And you'll probably find that you meet someone that goes, I also have herpes. I'm glad you brought this up first.
Yeah, and I think you can make it a conversation about, like, being tested. If you're, like, going to sleep with... If you are getting into it with somebody, you're like, hey, I just want to know the last time that you were tested. If you have anything you want to share with me.
Right.
Here, I'm giving you this opportunity to share something, so I'm also going to share something.
Right.
And making it so... Because it is... It's people's own sexual history and their sexual health. This isn't like this baggage thing that you bring into a relationship or anything like that. This is something that you're dealing with on your side of it. And then you also have to be like, I'm dealing with this. I'm not apologetic of it. And I'm not going to assume that you're not dealing with something. So I'm going to ask you because this is so normal.
Right. And I mean, it sounds like you've gotten ahead of it and you are, you know, treating yourself as like well as you can in this situation. That, I mean, you would, if you slept with someone a couple of times and then they told you that they've had herpes the whole time, how would you feel?
Yeah.
You'd feel kind of shitty about that situation. And so you've taken, I think a lot of adults don't take the initiative to get tested because they're afraid of what the results will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've done one of the most mature things that a human can do is like figure out what's going on with your body. And so that's a great opportunity, like you were saying, to just have a conversation about like, I value myself enough to get checked and have my health like figured out. So what's going on with you?
Yeah. And I think you also, this, I don't want this to sound bitchy or anything like that, but you also, no matter how safe you are and all of that stuff, you need to let other people make the choice to sleep with somebody who has herpes, even if it's not active and all that stuff. You're taking away that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that you probably got it from someone who didn't give you
the choice.
The choice. Mm-hmm. And I think and I fully trust that you're, especially with women, it is so much safer because you know when things are happening. But I think and not just make this like a consent issue, but like that's something that, at least for me, like I like to know everything that's going on. I don't want to have any sort of variables. And no matter how much I trust somebody, you need to instill the trust in other people and give people the opportunity to surprise you. And I think there is a little bit of embarrassment of like, oh, well, I don't. Well, what if they don't want to like sleep with me because of that? You have to let people choose that. If that's what they want to choose, and not telling them, I think is just as hard as it is. It's just taking away... And like, what if there's a small chance that somehow you pass it on to this person and you end up dating this person and they're like, what the hell? And you're like, I'm sorry, that was me. And I didn't tell you.
Right. And then, it's only going to get harder to tell someone the longer you wait.
Yeah.
And so you do yourself a service and just get it out in the open. I mean, it sucks. And there's no way to be like, I wish I could go back in time and not have this. It's unfortunate, but you're handling it. So just give yourself the best chance with new people that you meet that, hey, all my cards are on the table. And if they don't take the cards, get the different player.
Yeah. Get a new player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to share some medical information for
I would love to know.
So you should be aware that even if you use condoms, the condom may not cover areas that you still have herpes, even if you don't see it.
Oh.
And so you can still spread it that way. And you can also spread it from skin shedding where you don't have visible herpes.
Whoa.
So condoms don't fully protect you from getting herpes.
Well, and see, isn't this insane that we're all adults and we don't know this information?
And then for your partner, there are anti-herpes medications that you can take. So you can, if you're telling your partner ahead of time, then they can be protected beforehand.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I think of it also in the gay community, a huge thing on every gay dating app, you have to say like if you're positive, HIV positive or not.
Okay.
And that's something where it eliminates that awkward conversation because you're putting that out in the open with this dating app or hookup apps or anything like that. But you will also find so many other people who have that there.
Right.
So I think the amount that you can normalize it just because there are so many people, you're going to be more surprised who else is affected by it. But
you don't know who you talk to and then you mention that you have it and they realize they haven't been tested and they go get tested and find out they might have it too.
Yeah.
And if anything, you've created an opportunity where they get to know more about their own bodies.
Yeah. And I think if you tell them about like all the information that you have and so you're showing that, because I think the assumption from your end might be that it comes across that either you're a slut or that you're or not responsible sexually. But if you can be like, provide this information and explain all of this stuff and like say your sexual history and like what happened with this and the measures. And like, so there are medications you can take, this whole thing. It shows somebody that it's like, oh, okay, cool. This is like you having asthma and having an inhaler.
Right.
Like it's not being like, oh, I don't want to, I'm going to go to a spin class and I'm not going to bring my inhaler because I don't want anybody to know, kind of a thing.
Or if you have an allergy and you just still eat whatever it is because because you don't want to be that person that has the limitation. I also say just make a parody song and play it for them on the first date.
Yeah, and put it in like your bio, all your social media stuff. Like, hi, I'm so-and-so and I've got the herp.
It's cute when you say it that way.
Yeah, the herp is cute. Howard the Herp.
Turn it into a cartoon
that's
character.
That's my dad's name.
Oh, no!
Oh, sorry. And I hope this is a PSA for everybody to get tested, which I should probably do.
We've had this conversation before.
Get tested on the podcast.
Oh, okay. Oh. Wait, what if I have something that's like so dormant that I wouldn't have known?
I mean, forever. That seems to be the thing that happens to millions of people
every
year.
Okay, so I'm not getting tested. That's not helping.
No, but then that stops you maybe from spreading it to someone else too. And then they spread it to someone else and it stops the chain.
Or I can just make Mons, just he's not allowed to leave. Like, he's stuck with me. So.
We're together forever.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. On to the next one.
I'm 16 years old. I ride the bus every day in the morning. And on Monday, I missed my bus. And this kid, Brandon, was like, oh, my dad can give you a ride to my bus stop and we can catch the bus together. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, my mom won't murder me for missing the bus. That's awesome. And, so he took me to his bus stop and his dad dropped us off and it was just us there. And I wasn't flirting. I wasn't doing anything to like cause this, I guess. And he like grabbed my boob and he said like, your boobs look amazing. And then he like grabbed my ass and he was like, your ass looks amazing. And I didn't really know what to do in this situation. I was just very quiet. And I didn't talk, but, like, he continued talking to me and, like, at one point was kissing on my forehead, which made me so uncomfortable. And the next day on the bus, I was asleep. And I woke up and his hand was on my thigh. And I was just kind of having, like, a freak out panic attack, like, to where I just sort of pretended to still be asleep so that I wouldn't have to deal with the situation because I was scared of what would happen if I, like, flicked his hand off my thigh. And the thing is I have a boyfriend who I have not told him that this has been going on because I'm scared of how he's going to react. And I have been sexually abused in my past, which I never dealt with that because that was by a full-grown man. And all this stuff is really doing is bringing back memories. And for me, with my boyfriend of 2 years, it took me months to like be around him without stuttering. Like, I'm very nervous around men, especially. And apparently this guy does this stuff to other girls very often. Like, he'll grab a lot of girls' asses and boobs, and whether it's in front of their boyfriends or not, he just thinks it's okay. And I don't know if I'm exaggerating, but like every time I see him in the hallways or every time he texts me, like I feel sick and I've just kind of been ignoring him lately. And trying to find somewhere else to sit on the bus. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know if I'm exaggerating also. And I feel like I don't have anyone to talk to about this. So thank you.
This one makes me so fucking sad.
Yeah, and mad.
Oh, I want to, like,
I'm like, give me this boy's Twitter handle. I want to ruin his life.
Oh, I'm like, give me his phone. Give me his address. I'm going to beat the shit out of him. I know violence is not the answer.
No, but that, this, none of this is okay that he's doing. Absolutely none of this is okay. And he needs to be called out for it.
Yeah. This is also the things that stick out to me is it's, first of all, you're not exaggerating, like,
no,
at all. And I think this is something I wish people had instilled in me when I was younger, that in every situation, if you feel some way, that's valid.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're feeling this way because you're overreacting to something. You have to address the way that you're feeling, regardless of what caused that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate thing. And also even, okay, so not to make this like a whole sexual assault PSA, even if you were flirting, even if anything was like that,
it's not okay.
Yes is yes. No doesn't, like, it's not the whole thing anymore. We're like, well, no means no. It's like, no, yes means yes. There has mm-hmm. to be some sort of consent at the forefront of it, not the feeling of being like, well, I didn't say no. It's like, well, no, unless you say yes, it should just automatically be assumed that it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the thing is, I think this isn't, as much as I think cathartically, if I was in your situation, I'm like, oh, I would just completely tell him off, but I wouldn't at all.
There's such a fear and a shame yeah. associated with it. And then you start backtracking in your brain of, what did I do? Am I exaggerating mm-hmm. this?
Did I invite this on?
Yeah. You give him permission to do this and that's not okay.
Yeah.
As I mean, this you're seeing in media is being called out a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And so things are shifting and it's really brave of you to even like leave this voicemail about this situation, because this boy shouldn't be doing this and he has no one telling him no.
Yeah.
He clearly doesn't have a good father figure or good male friends that hold him accountable to being a respectful human being in yeah. the world.
And also, this is the thing I'd also say is because So I was listening to, not to promote someone else's podcast, Anna Faris's podcast. She just did a whole thing talking about the Me Too movement. And mm-hmm. they talked about the female giggle thing, where someone says something really uncomfortable and really mm-hmm. inappropriate. And we're so used to just giggling and laughing that kind of stuff off.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, you feel like, I've let this in. And the first time that someone goes too far, regardless, and the first time that he like grabbed your boob, you might feel that because you didn't say anything, that was a yes. And then that in that moment, you've now consented to this. So you're like, but I can't backtrack because I've let him do these other things before, regardless of feeling uncomfortable, which just isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a consensual thing. And you get put in a situation where you feel fearful and you feel uncomfortable and you're surprised and you don't know how to react. And I think ultimately you need to tell, if you don't feel comfortable telling your parents or something like that, you need to tell your school. And yeah. I think if you don't, again, I think if you don't feel comfortable going in and sitting down and saying it, leave a letter and mm-hmm. say that. And then, or if there's a teacher that you really, like you really get along with and you know, making sure that somebody, you tell somebody who can do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you've said, like, you feel like you're exaggerating and all that stuff, you've said that he's doing this to other girls.
Right.
So you can look at this, if it feels too like, oh, I feel like I'm causing trouble and this is like, I need to get over this. Don't look at this from your own perspective then. Look at this for the other people that he's doing this to and the other people that he might be doing this to.
And that they're just as scared as you to say something, or potentially could be scared to do something or say something. So you could not only be, one, outing someone that's doing something wrong,
mm-hmm.
but two, protecting potential girls that he would do this to in the future. So this is as much a validation of your own feelings and a protection of, you know, people that he comes across in life later on. And then you will be surprised about how much support you have in your life
oh, yeah.
against things like this, especially if this is a prevalent thing that he's been doing and something that's happened to you in the past. Whoever did it to you in the past also did something wrong.
Yeah.
And the only way to right wrongs is by calling them out. Yeah. By saying this is wrong.
And you're also young enough that hopefully he'll be able to comprehend and understand moving forward how not okay this is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you kind of let people do terrible things, they're like, sick, I'm getting away with it. Like, I can keep fucking doing these awful yeah. things. And I think about to guys that I knew in middle school where it was that thing of like, they would see their older brothers like touch mm-hmm. their girlfriend's butt and then they would do that. And you feel, it's that thing of being like, I'm getting attention, but I don't like this,
right.
but I don't really understand why or what this is. And I feel uncomfortable. And there's something that's so insane to me that women, and I mean, yeah, women and men, but when you're in the situation of being like a victim in this case, you don't want to make the other person feel uncomfortable, which I'm like, they're mm-hmm. making you feel so fucking uncomfortable. And you're worried that you're like, oh, but is my discomfort at my lack of consent going to make you feel bad? Because mm-hmm. I don't want that, which is, it's just such a vicious cycle.
And you deserve power. Basically, yeah. it's a power move. This person has power in this situation and they're addicted to that sense of power, that you need to take your power back mm-hmm. from this person and call them out. However you want, that's most comfortable for you, because it's not a comfortable situation all the way around. And so you just have to start making forward moves of letting people know if it's your boyfriend that you feel comfortable with, if it's your parents, if it's a teacher, if it's even just like to a friend or posting it on Facebook or whatever you want to do, just getting it out there is important and starts to stop the cycle.
Yeah.
Joe Biden started this campaign movement called It's On Us years ago that's targeted at sexual assault on college campuses. And the whole campaign philosophy is that if you're seeing someone, because it's not instilled in young men to say something when they see another young man doing something at a party in a social setting that they know is wrong.
Yeah, bro code.
Right. People don't speak up. And so the whole campaign, It's On Us, is it's on us as a community when we see something bad happening to take a stand against it, to call it out. So if you let people know, you'll be surprised at how supportive people will be.
And not to be like super fucking dark, and I'm not suggesting you watch this, but I've been watching The Keepers. Has anyone watched The Keepers?
No.
Okay, so good. But it's set in, I don't even, when is it set? The 70s? Okay, that's what I was thinking. It's set in the 70s, and one of the premises of this show, it's a true crime show. Again, really not recommending it. Very dark, very gruesome. But it's these, all of these women went to school together, and they're only now talking about, as adults, they all finding out that they were sexually abused by the same person.
Wow.
And they went all through high school of not saying anything because they thought they were the only one. Mm-hmm. And they thought there was all this responsibility to, like, that they put so much blame on themselves for this specific experience. And now they're these like elderly women who are sitting around and talking about this person who's was way older than them, who's long since gone, but they're all realizing that these classmates that they had were going through the exact same thing that they were.
Right.
And I think that's something to be said, that if he's this comfortable doing this to you, he's doing it to other people.
Yeah.
And
I mean, look at Harvey Weinstein right now.
Yeah.
As soon as someone like started saying something, all these dominoes started falling off. These other women being like, yeah, me too, me too, me too. Mm-hmm. The whole movement.
Yeah, and I think it's such a fitting thing in the times right now that hopefully, I don't think you said where you're from, but hopefully your administration is going to be very, as opposed to other times when I think they usually can belittle this a lot, I think they mean liability-wise, they kind of really got to take these things seriously.
Mm-hmm.
God, I fucking hate this guy.
Me too. This guy sucks a dick.
So much. Oh, I want to kill him. I want to give you a hug and I want to fucking kill this kid. Except without violence. Just with words and emotions.
Right.
Do we have another one?
We well, that's it. We're going producer? To Producer's Corner.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah. Producer's Corner is where... Oh, Jack's already smiling from the corner.
No,
oh.
It wasn't me this time, I swear.
It wasn't you this time?
No.
What's Producer's Corner?
It's when Jack... picks his favorite call. Those were air quotes, guys. I know it's a podcast. But also my favorite part, though, is it's usually Jack recording it or getting Mitchell to record it. But every time it's been Jack, none of the guests have realized it's Jack. Like, they're like,
wait, he calls in with a question?
Yeah. And people are like, oh, wow. And I'm like, do you not realize that was a sport this whole fucking time? You just did not make the connection. My friends are very smart actors. Did not go to even high school.
Fun.
But I guess this is not Jack this time.
No, this time we have a callback from, well, she explains everything in the call.
Yeah.
She explains everything. So,
okay.
We can just play it.
Just go in blind. You'll be fine.
All right.
Hey, Megan, this is just a follow-up voicemail. I was on your latest episode about my friend that is gay, and I was, like, wondering and asking you about how to go about it. So I took your advice and just kept quiet and let him do his thing and just waited and respected his decisions and how he wanted to go about it with however it was going to unravel. And it ended up going really well. He came over last week and came out to me, and I met his boyfriend, and they are so happy, and he's living his best life, and I could not be more happy for him. So he was never nervous about it, like you were saying, from the start. He just needed his time to figure it out. But I wanted to thank you for your advice, and tell you to keep on keeping on. That was so sweet of you. Thank you for everything. And yeah, goodbye. Bye.
That's so sweet.
Oh my God. I'm so happy I didn't ruin it. Like, I'm so excited. I think it was the first time someone's actually called back and been like, so I took your advice and it went well.
And my world's a mess right now.
As opposed to girls like, didn't take your advice, went into dinner with my boyfriend and his twin brothers, who I all secretly slept with. And I'm like, yeah, you done goofed. No, this makes me so happy.
That's so sweet. Yeah. Wait, so the issue was that she knew her best friend was gay.
Yeah, she knew her friend was gay and he wasn't coming out to her and wanted to know how to get him to come out to her. And I think what I had told, and she was very accepting and overly accepting to and all of that. But what I think what I had ended up telling her was, I was like, you're probably not the issue of who he's struggling to come out to. Oh, you're going to be the last person because A, you're saying that you're like, I already know. I'm like, he knows that you know.
Yeah, deep down.
And he's going to have to deal with coming out to all these other people. So you're an easy one, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, you're not going to be. Yeah, when my brother came out, my younger brother, he was in senior year of high school and I was in college. And I think I was the first person he told that was a member of my family because I was just, you know, we were close.
Gotta get an easy one under the belt.
Exactly. And then he had in his mind this like checklist of family members in the order that he was going to tell them based on like who was going to be the most difficult. Mm-hmm. And my dad was definitely last, even though he's the sweetest, most accepting guy. It was just like a son dad thing that he was worried about. And so I didn't even think about one. I was like, that's great. I didn't even really put it together that he was gay before this, but when he told me, I was like, that makes sense. Cool. Good for you. Are you dating? What's going on? But then I didn't even think about the second half of that, of his hierarchy of who was going to be the more serious, dramatic, emotionally taxing conversation and how that's important to him to go in that order.
And it's his choice. It's like, it's that you, whatever, even as like neurotic as it may seem, or nobody else can kind of see the rhyme or reason to why people do things in a certain manner, a certain order, you kind of just have to like let them do their thing. And I mean, yeah, it's also like I have friends who've never officially come out to me, which I'm like, I mean, I know.
Right.
And like you date men, but like there was never that situation of being like, we've grown up together. And you're like, so I have to come out to you.
Right.
But I'm like, you come out to other people. But like for me, it's kind of like, oh, well, why?
There's a mutual knowledge.
Yeah. Why do I have to do this thing again? So very happy for your friend. And I'm glad you took my advice and it worked. And I'm excited for him and his relationship.
And for your guys' relationship now, because now that you both are on like the actual same page with each other, I'm sure it's way more fun to be around each other.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, no one's hiding anything and no one's knowing that someone's hiding something.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure there's like a stiltedness that might be lifted, which is probably really refreshing.
And you can worry about him less now knowing that you're like, you can sometimes absorb that like, oh, are you stressed? Are you feeling bad? I want to relieve that.
Right.
And so now you guys are kind of like, oh, sick. We're all in the know.
You get to be each other around each other. That's so fun.
So fun.
So freeing.
Yay. So guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Grace, thanks so much for being on it.
Thank you for having me. I feel like I just went through a giant therapy session for myself.
You give great advice.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm literally like, I can dish it out. I don't take it. So
oh,
I'm like,
I think
this is all just mantras to myself basically this whole time.
No, but it's really good. I feel like it was also nice because you've got different life experience than me, which is great. Because I think, I love my friends who've been guests, but some of them haven't even gone to high school. And they're like, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with that. I'm like, okay, Leo, I love you, but damn. But yeah.
No, this was fun. Thanks so much for having me.
Loved it. Okay, guys, if you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be amazing. And if you are a caller from a previous episode and you want to give us an update, did you take my advice? Did it work super well? If you took my advice and it didn't work, I feel like you should also call, as much as I don't want to know.
But then you can give advice for the new problem that you've created.
Have I caused new problems? Have I stirred your pots? You guys can leave us voicemails at 310-694-0976. And again, international callers, you can email us a voice memo at meganpodcast@gmail.com. God, very excited to hear it all.
Grace, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, true.
Oh, I'm just at Grace Helbig on all social media.
She's just chilling there.
And you can listen to my podcast, Not Too Deep. Megan's been on an episode and you have to come back and do another episode.
I love your podcast. I've listened to, I think, every episode.
That's very kind
of
you.
And I watch them. On full screen.
Well, not anymore.
Oh,
but
we'll cut out.
But you should come on and we should do an advice-centric one.
I would love that.
Because now you've done all this. You're an expert now.
Yeah, I'll be less nervous. I think I told Jack, I blacked out after the first episode. I was like, I'm like, I don't know what I did.
I told him, I was like, I want 2 more hours of talking to her about everything she's done.
Well, I can get a lot of words in a minute.
There you go.
Talking real fast. Well, guys, go follow Grace on social media, not in real life. Because I fucking saw that guy who followed you with his car on Twitter.
That was creepy. Really creepy. Yeah, everything was fine. But it's amazing what happens when you start like blatantly filming things.
Oh, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. No, it was really, really creepy. Everything's okay, though.
Yeah, good. Because I feel like a lot of serial killers live in Palm Springs. Probably deserts, like rooms to bury bodies.
Yeah, that's a statement.
I mean, I also love Palm Springs, but I also love like creepy murder shit.
Well, I'm glad that I lived there half time. So,
well, now you know, just bring your camera.
Will do.
Have your DSLR wherever you go.
My camera and my bear spray.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, guys. Well, I will see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Don't Blame Me is a production by me, produced and directed by Jack Ferry, associate producer Melissa DeMonts, edited by Melissa DeMonts, post-production sound by Chris Henry, and music by Giacomo Picasso and Ryan Hunter. I will see you guys in 2 weeks, and don't blame me if your life bursts into flames before then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.